Lord be with you. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to church on this, the 10th Sunday after Trinity. And our theme is Great is Your Faith. And we pray as we begin our worship this morning as we come before God. Lord God, as we come before you now, we open our hearts to you. Help us to see that we can learn so much from others, even from those whom we think we may not share much in common. Make us willing to stand out from the crowd, to hear your voice and act upon it. Amen. And you may be seated as we hum together our first hymn, I the Lord of Sea and Sky. Sometimes we look as slight noises, but we confess that our attention is often anywhere but where it is supposed to be. Forgive us, Lord, for missed opportunities. Sometimes we are too distracted by our own concerns. We care only for ourselves and listen only to those who say what we want to hear. Forgive us, Lord, for missed opportunities. Sometimes we don't listen to people because we don't like them or because they are different from us. Sometimes we've had bad or unhelpful thoughts. Forgive us, Lord, for missed opportunities. Sometimes we don't listen to you, Lord, because we are too busy or a bit frightened about what you might say to us. Forgive us, Lord, for missed opportunities. Amen. And the collect for today. Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions. Make them to ask such things as shall please you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we listen to our first reading.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient, in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our Sustainer. Amen. What would you think if someone told you that they would inscribe a four-word epitaph on your headstone? Well, your response might depend on how well you knew them, and how well you got on with them, and how well you thought this person understood you. If a newspaper critic wrote of a concert pianist the four words, "He was a failure," you could always say, well, that was his opinion. But if one of the world's greatest musicians wrote, "He was a genius," then you are apt to take the remark more seriously. There was a character in the Gospel who Jesus once described with four immortal words, "Great is thy faith." She was a Canaanite woman. She came from the country north of Palestine, a country hostile to the Jews. She was presumably married. We know she had at least one child. But that's all we know about her. We don't know whether she was a good or a bad person. We don't know her name. And all that we know of her is of the single encounter with Jesus. He spoke to her in this encounter, a four-word epitaph: "Great is your faith." Only four words, but are enough to make her immortal. And we can trust these words as being true because the expert on faith who spoke them was, of course, Jesus. And Jesus searched for faith in people like a gem collector would search for jewels, fine jewels. And he did not always find faith in his disciples. On no occasion have we heard that him ever say to Peter or to James or to John, "Great is your faith." More often we heard the words, "You of little faith." And in fact, "great is your faith," the only one other person he said something similar to was a Roman soldier. So we have to admire this woman. And I think even we could envy her a little bit too, because she stands where we would all like to stand. What faithful Christian would not like it said of him or her, "Great is your faith"? Think what it would mean if an aspiring young artist had Picasso place his hand on his shoulder and say, "You have a great talent." How wonderful then, as a believer in God, if Jesus would place his hand on our shoulder and say, "You have remarkable, remarkable talent for faith." But how does one qualify for this praise? What does one have to do to find the answers? We'll look a little bit closer at the lady, this Canaanite woman. She was a Canaanite woman, but she was willing to cross barriers. Her faith consisted mainly of the fact that she turned to Jesus in her time of need. She needed help. And this was quite remarkable when you remember she was a Canaanite and she was a Gentile, thereby a traditional enemy of the Jews, and they had despised each other for centuries. But this woman was well aware, she was well aware of this gulf between the Jews and her people. Yet here she was, because of her desperate need. Her daughter was deathly ill. So she was going and willing to cross over and to turn to Jesus for help. That was her faith. Faith still consists today of turning to Christ for help. And barriers today still need to be crossed. These days, the first barrier is 2,000 years, to be precise, a barrier in time, which is a very wide gulf. Jesus lived then and we live now. We might think it's such a different ball game in our world today. How can he possibly help me? And then there's the barrier of culture. A generation that travels faster than the speed of sound may well wonder, how can I get help from this man from Palestine, a Jew who travelled on a donkey? Can Jesus even understand our problems? And then there's the barrier of pride. Am I willing to get beyond myself and admit that I cannot handle every situation that comes up in my life? Are we able to cross the barrier that says, I don't need you, Jesus, I'm doing quite well myself? It seems clear that when this lady turned to Christ for help, she knew very little of him. Undoubtedly, she had heard of his great powers, and she was willing to put down her pride and to call out for help. Have mercy on me. But that was her faith and the extent of her understanding of who Jesus was, and it was enough. Her faith simply existed in the fact that she came to Jesus for help in a situation where she had exhausted all of her own resources. She wasn't afraid of crossing barriers. And secondly, we can say of her, she refused to be put off. There were at least three very intimidating factors that probably would have made most of us give up. Firstly, there was the silence of Jesus. The scriptures tell us that her cry for help and outstretched hand, and Jesus replied, not even a word. How unlike him, how uncharacteristic. And there's no reaction harder to bear than silence. A flat no at least acknowledges your presence and tells you exactly where you stand, even if you don't like it. But when there's silence, you don't know what the person is thinking, or you don't know if they're even acknowledging you. There is no sterner test of faith than the silence of God. It was that way for Job. He could have stood all of his endless suffering if only the Almighty had not seemingly gone hiding and cut off all communication. And again, he shook his fist to heaven and challenged God to come out. Perhaps that's how this Canaanite woman must have felt. She told Jesus that her daughter was sick and needed help, and what she got in reply was silence. Surprisingly, it didn't intimidate her. She perceived what very few people who have faith perceive, and that is that the silence of God does not mean the indifference of God. This woman did not lose faith or heart in the face of silence. Another intimidating factor was that this woman received no help or encouragement from the disciples either, not unusual from the disciples. To the disciples, she was a nuisance. The disciples had become very weary under the constant pressure of demands made upon them. Part of this woman's faith, however, was that she would not be put off by the indifference of people. Yet the disciples did not seem to be the only ones putting this woman off. When Jesus finally did break his silence, he said to her, "I have been sent to the house of Israel and to them alone," basically. Was Jesus testing her? We don't know. But it sounds very much as if he's saying, "Sorry, you are not my type of religious person." But even then, she refuses to be put off. In spite of what Jesus said, she fell at his feet and cried out, "Sir, help me." That was the essence of her faith. She did not she didn't belong to any synagogue. She probably, most likely, didn't know of the Torah. But she had a need, and that was enough. She wasn't going to be put off. Which brings me to the third point of her faith. She realized that she had no claim on Jesus for the request that she was making. She was going in faith and humility, but she knew she had no claim on Jesus for help. To this woman's plea for help, Jesus makes another statement that perhaps we have difficulty in understanding. It doesn't sound like something he would normally say. He said to her, "It's not right to take the children's bread and to throw it to the dogs." That sounds like an insult if I ever heard one. Even today, the term dog is used for something partially despicable. And it's been pointed out that the actual word in the Greek was not, the word that Jesus used was not dog, but puppy. He was referring to a household pet and not the kind of wild dogs that roamed the streets of Palestine at the time. Some say that he was not insulting her, but teasing her, and he was probably smiling when he spoke those words. I don't know. Maybe he's drawing a line here, because his ministry was not to the Gentiles. And we could certainly understand at this point if the poor woman just burst into tears and ran away. But she didn't cry and she didn't walk away. She answered Jesus by saying, basically, "It's true, sir. I admit that I am a dog. I realize I have no claim upon you." That was her faith, and that is still faith today. The woman said to Jesus, "Sir, even the dogs can eat the crumbs from the master's table." She was saying, in effect, "Sir, I admit I have no claim upon you, but there must be some extra grace that you have that I would be deserving of." And Jesus replied to her, "Woman, what great faith you have. Be it as you wish." And from that moment, her daughter was restored to health. The greatness of this woman's faith consists in her willingness to cross barriers, the barrier of racism, her refusal to be put off or ignored because of her position in life, her humility in admitting that she did not deserve the master's attention and time. It is faith to go to God for help, and at the same time to admit that we have no claim upon him, having nothing that we have done to merit his mercy, in no position to make demands. We go to God in faith. Blessed be God, day by day. Amen. Let us pray. As we pray for others and we pray for ourselves. The Canaanite woman sought your help. She loved her daughter so much she was so desperately in need that she wouldn't give up till she had her answer. We pray in faith, hear us and answer our cry, blessed Lord. Lord, may we learn from this woman to wait on you expectantly, patiently, persistently, doggedly. Grant us the courage of our convictions when we truly believe we are doing your will. We pray in faith, hear us and answer our prayer, blessed Lord. We pray today for those who feel excluded, whatever their situation, whatever the reason, for prisoners, for refugees, the homeless. We pray for the sick and the mentally unstable, and we take a moment to think of those on our own hearts at this time. And we pray for any who feel that they are outsiders. We pray in faith, hear us and answer our prayer. We pray for ourselves when our faith is weak, or we feel that we don't belong. We pray in faith, hear us and answer our prayer. As we pray for ourselves, we pray for our country, especially in this time of coronavirus. And Lord, we are all a bit worried about the numbers that we're hearing. We pray for the sick and those who care for them. We pray for good sense for each and every one of us in the way we live. We pray for the government as they have to make decisions under the guidance of the HSE. We pray for those who have to guide us and the country forward. Lord, we pray for your wisdom to be in the middle of it all. We pray in faith, hear us and answer our cry, blessed Lord. And we think of the things that are on our hearts at this time that we would like to bring before you. We think of those who have been bereaved in recent days. We pray for Chris and for Claire Gotto on the passing of Claire's sister Faye this week. We pray that you would comfort and sustain all those who mourn. And we give thanks for those who have gone before us. This week we remember Jim Heapy and his family as they remember him today. We pray in faith, hear us and answer our cry, blessed Lord. And we bring our prayers together in the words, Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. And we join together in the family prayer, our Lord's prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We hum together our closing hymn, And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Blood. come to the end of our service. Next Sunday service will be morning prayer at the same time, and you won't have to listen to me. Mr. Keith Roberts is coming, so we look forward to welcoming Keith. You see on your notes that see Sunday we usually have a special service in July for the whole community and that, so this year things are a little different, but we are going to have a blessing of the boats Sunday the 30th down at the harbour, probably after service here, so we'll keep you abreast of that. I think that's pretty much all the announcements. The Lord be with you all. Let us bless the Lord. We go out today renewed and strengthened in faith, ready to serve you, Lord, and find you in the people we meet. We go out to follow you and our hearts. Lead us, good Lord. Amen.